With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, another year of It's a Thing. Blah, 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 blah. The weekly podcast supported by you, where we are on a never-ending journey to serve people the very best things. Things roasted in butter, sautéed in their own fat. Chopped to perfection. I don't know. I made a sort of a duck confit. Yeah, I changed my mind. That sounded horrible. Anyway, it's a hearty and delicious podcast that you're excited to share with your loved ones. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, pull up a chair, loved ones, join us. It's gonna be great.
Welcome.
Let's just get this out of the way, especially because we got email from Joe Hood about this already. And I had to confirm with Rich, like, I did put this in our bullpen list before we saw Joe. We'll give Joe partial credit as well. Wordle is everywhere. Everyone's playing Wordle. Wordle it too. Oh, you're so cool. Yeah, Wordle. Wordle has taken over the internet at the beginning of 2022. Actually, all the way back into the end of December. It's been out since November, but end of December is when it blew up.
Yeah, it's funny too, because I just sort of kept seeing it go by and didn't really, apparently no one invited me to play. I don't really know, but man, is it. I mean, it was so much so that it was like Forbes, December 23rd, Wordle, the game that's going viral this Christmas. And so much so that today, who was it, Will, tech reporter guy, tweeted like, what the F is Wordle? I mean, it's just like, no one can stop.
Joe said this may be like the shanties in 2021. And if it is, I will start to wonder if we will always get a New Year's thing krieg, pent up thing longing from the holiday. Everyone logging back on and noticing things anew. I'm not sure, but would like to hear your take on early January New Year's things happening hot and fast.
Ooh, I'll give it to you. That makes sense. Yeah. Give it to me. Yeah, I could totally see that happening. And you know what? It makes perfect sense that a thing just like this, shanties or Wordle or some other kind of game, would start to percolate as a thing around December-ish and the holidays-ish and Thanksgiving-ish, because you've got time.
Yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing about Wordle. If you're like, hold on, you keep saying the Wordle thing and I'm on the outs. That's why I come here. Explain it to me. It's a word guessing game. Miss M pointed out in the Discord, don't go find an app. This is not an app. This is a website. It is a web app, powerlanguage.co.uk/wordle. But if you just go to powerlanguage.co.uk, I think it'll get you there. It's the guy who did the button on Reddit years ago, if anybody is familiar, same developer. And it's daily. So you can only play it once a day.
I love that.
And I think that is a huge part of this is I've mentioned it to some people and they're like, yeah, I don't have time for that. I'm like, you only can play it once a day. They limit you. Oh. Now, obviously, you could open a new browser and get around it. But the idea is like the word comes out at midnight. You've got 24 hours to play the word, you know, and then once you've played, you're done until the next day.
That's amazing. That's sort of shades of HQ trivia.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Much more simple.
But a much trivia. More simple and frankly, more fun.
It's like Mastermind or something where you have five letters. You have the entire alphabet. You type in a five-letter word. Has to be in the dictionary or they'll be like, that's not in the dictionary. So you can't just put gobbledygook. You got to put a word. And then it'll tell you which letters you got right in yellow and which letters you got right in the right place in green. And that gives you a hint to make the next guess.
Fun. This sounds fun. I know I hear you guys sitting out there like, nah, everybody's doing it. I'm too cool for it. You're not. Let's try it. We'll all try it together.
No one needs to know. Just you do it that once a day.
That's true. Yeah. There you go. I sort of, ironically, I also brought a game or rather hilariously, I also brought games to talk about today, which is super funny, although mine take more time potentially. So last year is when I came across this hilarious game that I think is so freaking funny that I'm sure had been out before that, but it's called Human Fall Flat. And it's like a Steam game. They have it for PC. We played it on the PlayStation. And it's just this sort of like goofy, hysterical, like hysterically funny, amazing game where you play as this like floppy, wobbly human who's just sort of like a blob. You can put a hat on it and stuff or make it look different. And you wander around. You fall down constantly. You try to grab stuff. You literally have to do basic tasks like pick up a box and put it on an elevator. Like, I'm about to crack up talking about it because it's so funny, because I tried to play with my son. It was like, pick up this box, put it on this lift. The lift goes up. We go up with it.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds easy. I know. Are you watching a video?
I know this game. I was like, this sounds really familiar. Why do I know this game? They played it on an episode of Run BTS. The BTS band's variety show. They did a thing where they went to a game hall and played games against each other, and one of them was this, and it was hilarious because you're kind of floppy, so you can't really control yourself, and they were pushing each other off and falling. So it's amazing.
It's hysterical. Like, it is laugh out loud funny. Apparently it was released in 2016. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of gotten like bigger over the years, right? It got super popular in 2020. I guess like it got obviously much more popular during the pandemic. As of July 2021, at least according to Wikipedia, it had sold more than 30 million copies. And now the reason that I realized like, oh crap, this is a thing, is because now there are spin-offs. And there's one called Gang Beasts, where you are a floppy, weird human fall flat human. But you fight each other. Like, you have to grab each other and throw each other off of a ship while like sharks jump and try to eat you. and so it's all the hilarity, but old. Sharon Marie says Gang Beast is old. And so maybe like,
it must be Gang Beast that they were playing on Run BTS, because I recognize these Gang Beasts shots. The screen caps, yeah.
You can like pick each other up and throw each other around with Human Fall Flat, but they were probably playing Gang Beasts because I think it's having a moment right now, and I'm not really sure why, but possibly because it's like Human Fall Flat. Like, I don't even know the etymology of either of them. I just know that this sort of like floppy, doofy, impossible to control, outrageously hysterical set of games is a thing.
Yeah.
Is a thing. And I also just can't even stop saying Human Fall Flat because it makes me laugh.
It's fun to say.
Yeah. Maybe they're by the same. Sharon Marie says that came out in 2014. Maybe they are, but they're not even by the same studio. So maybe Human Fall Flat is a straight up ripoff.
Floppy people is a cool new thing.
Floppy people video games is a thing.
It's definitely a thing. I love this. This is great.
It's so fun. Mainly, it's just like, I want you guys all to go play it because it's so fun and it will just cheer you up because it's so ridiculous and makes you laugh.
Well, I'm glad we started with two strong, undeniable things, because I'm going to come up with one that's definitely not yet a thing. But I'm wondering, or maybe I'm trying to make it a thing. Tolfenamic acid. Now, you will rightly say, Mollywood, Tom Merritt, tolfenamic acid is not a thing. It's not going to be a thing. What are you talking about? What if I tell you only scientifically supported hangover cure?
Is that something you might be interested in?
Oh, yes.
Now we're talking.
There was a review of the literature of hangover cures by Rachel Smith, Matthew Hotop, and Colin Drummond, doing the Lord's work of science for us, by saying which of these hangover cures might actually be real. Turns out almost none of them. They found possible, in other words, like indicates further study, possible reduction in the time of a hangover from a clove. But the only one that you could take before you get the hangover that studies suggest might reduce the nausea, headache, and tremors experienced during a hangover was tolfenamic acid.
Well, then I look forward to seeing it advertised everywhere. And it's going to start showing up in drinks, just like all the weird other stuff that's showing up in drinks. Like there's going to be like an, you know, a day after beverage. Of course, it says you have to do it before and after.
Yep.
You drink. So it's not even going to work, but people are going to buy this like embedded in a fizzy water.
Oh, yeah. It'll if properly packaged, it'll come in a snap apart two dose drink. You take one before you go to bed and then or one before you go to the bar, I guess. And then one when you wake up in the morning.
Oh, 100%. I will not be shocked. The only thing that could prevent this from becoming a thing is America's new obsession with going sober.
Oh, good point. Right.
It's like one battle. Or the other, right? Yeah. Either they're going to, either Americans are going to.
I still think there's enough drinkers, but I will say would only become a thing amongst the continuing to drink. Also, it's only available with a prescription in the UK. Here in the wild lands of the United States, not a problem, but in some countries, including the UK, you might need to get your doctor to prescribe it because it's an NSAID, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Much like ibuprofen is, but some NSAIDs you require a prescription for, and tofenamic acid in the UK anyway is one of those.
I mean, 1 million points go to Grizzly Silversmith in the It's a Thing Discord, not only for the name, which I believe we've given him many points for before, but for saying that this needs a brand name like Toll Free.
Oh, that's perfect.
Right?
That's your pitch, Grizzly Dude, Silversmith.
You just made an elevator pitch, and someone is going to throw money at you for that because that is freaking genius.
Absolutely.
Toll Free. Oh, that's incredible. Wow. Yeah, I feel like this, I'm going to give this a 70-30 chance of full thingdom by the end of the year.
It is generally not available in the U.S. yet.
Yet.
And if you're in the U.K., just tell your doctor you've got migraines, as they pronounce migraine in the U.K.
Seriously?
And if you can convince them, then they will prescribe you Clotam or Tufnil. Which is the brand names of tofenamic acid there.
Wow. No, it needs to be Toll Free. We're starting this business.
Is the drink that includes it, right? Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah,
that's totally
exactly. Great. The drink with it built in, the before and after drinking drink. Oh, look, now we have a tagline. Oh, my God. Oh, this is outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, if instead of continuing to drink astonishing and unhealthy amounts, just like you have for most of the pandemic... if you've decided to get fit for the new year, I know that's kind of a thing.
Oh,
broadly
totally. Yeah.
Speaking, everybody wanted to get fit. Yeah. Don't bother. Your Peloton is out of date. Your mirror thing, like all your home gym equipment is over. Because what you need now, my friends, is the new cool thing in home fitness, a rowing machine.
Okay. I'm partway down the river with you on this. Because these rowing machines in the Esquire article you linked to have screens, right?
Yep.
So I get it. It's like Peloton, except the instead rowing. Of looking at an instructor, you're looking at a beautiful ocean scene as you row. I love that.
Oh, and an instructor. Rowing machines are the new Peloton.
The Bosun.
Ah, Reagan
right?
says that they bought one last month. So the Hydro.
Oh, Reagan out of the curve. Yeah.
Thank you, by the way, for validating this. I know two people who have recently purchased rowing machines. And the benefit, apparently, of the rowing machine is, of course, that it doesn't hurt your butt. It's like not as hard to, you know, I mean, it's just you sit on the thing. It's probably like a little night. If you're not into cycling, then rowing is more comfortable to sit on, but also it's a full body workout. So it's just like it's more efficient and it's gentle on your joints. It's low impact. It's not like running or any of those other things. And also it's new. Let's be honest. New. And so now they're selling them in Peloton style where they come with a screen and there are classes and immersive content that goes along with them. Hydro is the very popular one that both of my friends who just bought rowers bought. H-Y-D-R-O-W.
That's it. That's the one. Nailed
That's
it.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That is totally the one. And
get your
also,
hydro flask on your hydro rower.
It's totally working because I completely want to buy one. Completely. And then I was completely validated. I'm going to say completely again because I went to Best Buy and was like looking around at Best Buy for, I don't even know, a screen protector for my son's phone or something. And like, sure enough, in the middle of the freaking floor in Best Buy, rowing machine.
Was it Hydra?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And was there a Peloton out on the floor? No exercise bikes. Like bikes are over.
Yeah.
Bikes are over. Rowers, rowing machines are
in. Rowing machines in.
And now I kind of want one.
The only reason I'm only partway down the stream with you on this is A, I wanted to make the stream joke, and B,
which is hilarious,
I'm thinking of that Samsung monitor that was showed off at CES that curves bottom to top. Somebody's got to put that on a rowing machine so you like are in the river.
Oh, dude.
Right?
That is amazing. Okay, that's hysterical. I will only buy a rowing machine if it's a Tuesday and if I can detach the screen. I mean, it's like a matter of minutes before I get one of these. Like, I'm such a dum-dum. I've never had one. I bought the exercise bike, and then I was like, I don't think I really like riding this bike.
Oh, yeah. Not your thing. Yeah, it's fun.
It's kind of not my thing. Maybe I want a rower. Full body is so efficient.
Full body is efficient and better screens. Come on, Hydro. Like, get that immersive screen going on. Get that curved screen.
It's perfect. Yeah. I mean, this teeny little screen, and then you're going to say it's an immersive, you know, experience with like a cheetah and a cuttlefish. No.
I mean, granted, you want to sell a few million of these first, so then you can make them all feel bad when you come out with the curved one. I get that. Planned obsolescence and all, right?
Totally. I mean, there's literally one for Amazon for $250 if you don't care about the screen and you just want to like duct tape your iPad to it, which I hella would.
Yeah, does Apple Fitness have a rowing program? Because a bunch of people are right in.
Oh, I wonder if they do.
Just put an iPad up there.
I'm telling you guys, these are a thing. By the way, this 9 best rowing machines to kick up your full body workouts at home piece that I found in Esquire published today.
Today, people. It's the Neil Diamond, it's a thing moment here.
Exactly.
You're coming to Thing-merica.
You're coming to Thing-merica. You're rowing to Thing-merica.
On the boats. boats. On the boats and just the boats.
Oh, thank God we're back. Oh, spectacular.
I forgot everything else I was going to say about this.
Me too. Time to let some other people talk because
all right, yes, let's go to our feedback at itsathing.me. Thanks everybody for keeping us in your thoughts over the holiday break. Chip from Boston wants to make sure we give ourselves credit. Thank you, Chip. Chip said, hey, Tamale and Rich, I was listening to the first annual Thingy Awards and you mentioned that your prediction for vaccine parties did not come true. Well, I had to share that it did at least once, and it was not influenced by the show. My 81-year-old dad and his friends all had a vaccine party back in the spring after they had all been vaccinated. They even had vaccine shots at the party, which were alcohol shots in food syringes. So put a check in the correct column. Love the show. Keep up the great work.
Oh, that is incredible. Thank you. And also, clearly, we just didn't hang out enough with the awesome old people partiers.
Seriously, I want to be friends with Chip and Chip's dad and dad's friends.
Hell yeah. That is awesome.
That's amazing.
I guess you would be a lot more inclined to have a vaccine party if you were really at super high risk. You know, if you were like literally square in the demographic that was most likely to die from COVID, you would definitely have a vaccine party. That makes sense. All right, Russell writes in with some thing feedback and says, Molly, Tom, and Rich, hope you and yours are having a wonderful, relaxing holiday. Been listening for a while. Have to say, It's a Thing has been a bright spot that I look forward to each week during these challenging times. Aw, us too. Says, had a few things I wanted, hopefully, help to confirm. A little bit of a thing check. You had mentioned doodles. This is actually more like thing firm, I think. Thing formation across the board. You'd mentioned doodles in relation to popular dogs. There are probably half a dozen in my building alone here in New York City. And I see a whole lot of them out in the street. Very cute and friendly. I was watching the dog show with my son. This is me talking now, not Russell. And they were talking about how the lab has been like the number one breed. Golden Labs, number one breed in the AKC registration for like 40 years, 50 years.
Wow.
They just will not be unseated. And I was like, really? because here come the doodles.
Here come the doodle coming for you, lab.
They're more diffuse, though, I guess, because there's lots of different kinds.
Your regret.
Oh, my God. Or golden retriever. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Labrador shiny puffer retriever. Jackets, says Russell. Definitely a thing in New York City. And you know, if they're a thing in New York City, they're a thing everywhere. He says, seeing more and more and more of them as the days go by. And you had mentioned the use of the term performative a while back as trending. In reading the latest Neal Stephenson novel, Termination Shock, there was a chapter called Performative War. Mm-hmm. The concept was explored in some detail as part of the book. Screenshot attached. Of it on, that's so awesome, of it on like Audible.
Russell, that was a shiny puffer doodle of an email that I did not find performative in any way. Well done, my friend.
The information's across. Also, Termination Shock is kind of a little, that's like, it's had a surprising ripple effect. I mean, I know people really like Neal Stephenson, but I feel like I've seen it mentioned all over the place.
Would you say a shockwave?
Oh, Lee Price. I wouldn't, but you would.
Lee Price sent in a typeface thing. That's true. I know there's at least one other typography nerd who listens to the show, so this is for us. The Lydian font, spelled L-Y-D-I-A, Lydian font, like the name Lydia, seems to have been rising in usage over the last year or two, bubbling up to a crescendo where it now seems to be on the cover of almost every recent mystery or sci-fi novel. That's appropriate because apparently the font has its origins in pulp novels from the 1940s. Are we finally breaking away from society's obsession with 70s as interpreted by the 90s design? Or are we about to dig in deeper to 70s kitsch and see the revival of Gillies Gothic, a font which should really be named Strip Mall Hair Salon with Faded Poster Serif?
I mean,
I love this. I actually responded to Lee. I was like, this email made my day.
This is the world's greatest email. The Lydian font. All right, I looked it up on the image search, which is a little bit tricky because it's like multiple different versions and you can't quite tell, but I see it. I see what you're talking about. Also, have you seen that Saturday Night Live skit called, damn it, never mind.
What's it called?
It's the one with Ryan Gosling, and it's about the Avatar logo, and it's just the name of the font, because he's like, it's just that font.
Yes. Okay.
And it's amazing, but of course, I'm ruining it because I can't think of the name of the font.
Thank you, Shara Marie, for putting that perfectly designed Lydian font demonstration in the Discord.
Oh, incredible. Papyrus.
Papyrus.
By the way.
Thank you. Shara Marie again. 2 for 2.
Oh, nailed it. I have totally seen this Lydian font. Yes. A little bit Germanic. Not just because it says Die Fünfe Valrosa.
Although that is part of it.
Wow. Font people. Hysterical. Amazing.
Indeed.
And then finally, Matt in Minnesota on a new thing to look out for. Hi, folks. I'm several episodes behind, so hopefully this hasn't been covered yet. Formula One racing is definitely a thing. Pause for effect. In the U.S.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. Plot twist. I've been a fan since I was a kid in the 90s, but this year I've seen more people talking about it than ever before. These are people who have known I like racing and have never shown an interest before. I think this is mostly due to the Netflix series Drive to Survive, but the ratings seem to be up quite a bit this year, and the U.S. Grand Prix in Austin, Texas had a huge attendance, and I've seen it popping up in places I've never seen before.
I have direct experience with a newly minted Formula One fan in the form of Bryce Castillo, the producer of the Cord Killers podcast, and also one of the people that works for Brian Brushwood's group out there in Austin, a huge F1 fan, definitely because of Drive to Survive.
I mean, I just have to tell you that over in the Discord, Joe was like, Bryce Castillo mentioned coming in 3,
oh, yeah.
2,
no, I saw
1,
it too.
And it happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I know about Drive to Survive was from Bryce, and he went to the Grand Prix in Austin and was talking about how great it was. So, I mean, that's only one data point. I get it, but I'll believe you, Matt,
still,
because you're coming from the other end of the U.S. up there in Minnesota from Texas. So, yeah, must be a thing.
Dang, must be a thing. I love it. Well, yeah, I mean, I wonder if it just sort of goes along with this whole, you know, we talked about drift cars and
yeah.
I think there's like just a new interest in racing and car culture, which is kind of interesting. I mean, Formula One, like racing people have been saying for years that it's the one to watch if you really like racing.
Is there a world forming
in a world
decades down the road where we see cars as horses, right? Where autonomous cars kind of take over everything, and driving a car is a thing you like go. Some people actually own a car, like some people actually own a horse, and some people go to places to drive cars because it's fun, like some people go to places to ride horses because it's fun. And there are, of course, races of cars that people are into, even if they know nothing else about horses slash cars.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Yeah. Like a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm talking decades. Like, but yes. When I say decades, I don't even mean 20. I mean more than that. But yeah.
Right.
Down the road.
I think that makes perfect sense. Yes. I think that is highly, highly, highly likely. Because, yeah, it's what is my son keeps ranting that, like, Tesla's killing car culture. And he's not 100% wrong, right? Like, you're not going to have, like, wrenching on cars. There's not as much stuff to fix. Like,
it's not killing car culture. It's,
well, it's changing it.
It's niching it.
Yes. There you go. Right? It's making car culture even more special is what I'll tell
them. All car culture becomes classic car culture in the future, I guess.
Right, exactly. EVs definitely are doing that, though, I think.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's right.
All right. Now to the best part of the show, the shout outs.
Shout.
Which, of course,
shout. If
shout them all out. These are the ones who pay the most. Shout out.
It's we're talking about grab. You.
Patreon.com/ it's a thing is where you can support us at any level. But if you support us at the shout out level, you will get to be part of an event such as the following, in which producer Rich carefully crafts a custom artisanal one-time-only tribute to all of you.
This week's shout-outs are meta, because they're based on a new patron, David Smith, who goes by Grizzly Silversmith in Discord. So all patron names in the shout-outs are a type of user ID and a profession in a medieval town.
An ursid, Tom. A bear.
An ursid. I read that user ID. Yeah, no, an ursid, a bear. I'm sorry.
You
oh my
are
gosh,
so
I totally blew
techie.
That. I just auto-corrected. Also, I type really bad, so I'm used to being like, oh, that must mean
that ursid, is
a type of ursid. I apologize, Rich.
This is the greatest thing ever. That was the most like on brand Tom moment of our lives. Perhaps we're gonna have to clip this for all eternity.
Did it either? So yes, Grizzly being a bear. So each of these names will. Anyway, yeah, you get it.
Yeah, Ursid. We will start with the man who inspired it all, David Grizzly Smith, Grizzly Silversmith,
Morris Jones, Polar Bowyer,
Benjamin Forrest, North American short-faced dyer.
It could be a tree, too. Lee Price, Giant Panda Apothecary.
Kevin Sill, Spectacled Scribe.
Eric Duncan, Andean Innkeeper.
Jake Woods, Kodiak Peddler.
Miranda Janelle, Grizzlar Glassblower. That's a good one. I like that one.
That's a good one. Andrew Bradley, Florida Short-Faced Farmer.
Joe Hood, Spirit Furrier. And see, Furrier works in like multiple ways.
It's so meta. Louis St. Amour, Cinnamon Gravedigger.
Aussie Lee says, that was my new drag name right there.
Yeah, Cinnamon it was. Gravedigger Spirit Furrier, for sure.
Mike Akins, Sloth Minstrel.
Incredible. And James C. Smith, Sunweaver.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Sunweaver. I like that.
Please feel free to include these new ursine occupational titles in your LinkedIn, your Twitter bio, wherever you want to announce.
They're yours.
Yourself.
You're for being a Patreon. And look, folks, when you join in at a new level, like Grizzly Silversmith did, Rich Trofolino rolls out the red carpet for you. I'm just
we
saying.
Get pretty excited. Yeah. We get pretty excited.
Grizzly
Thank
Silver
you.
Smith's like, yeah, I think I'll use mine as my login here. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Yeah. he's one step ahead of you, but that doesn't mean he'll stay in the lead forever. Mm. Thanks to everybody who listens to It's a Thing, who supports us. If you want to become a member of It's a Thing, I can tell you that the other best part is joining our Discord live when we record every week and talking to your fellow patrons. It's a blast. Patreon.com/It's a Thing.
Also, keep those emails coming. We love them. We miss them if you don't send them to us. So if you haven't sent them to us, send them to us. And if you have sent them to us, send them to us more at feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye. Gonna break down now. Can't hold it back. Ursid!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.